Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Folks, I have an absolute fireball here. This is Heidi St. John, and we met when I was on your show, and immediately there was some synergy going on. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm great, actually. I'm really happy to be here. This is fun.
Well, listen, okay, I'm already getting a call. Love it.
Yeah.
So
let me look at my phone. I'm sure look at my
phone. No, you're good. You're good. So the thing is, you just started the show by saying something crazy, and it's edgy. I'm not going to lie. It's edgy. You basically said you want to take young people out of the public school. Those are fighting words.
Come on.
For a lot of people. But
yeah.
Why did you say that?
Because the public schools are killing our kids. They're failing academically, and they're failing spiritually. It's wounding the hearts and minds of children. And this is true in blue states, red states, in small towns, big cities. The agenda that's in the public schools is set by the National Educators Association, a woke and evil union that is not pushing, let's get better in science and math and history, because they're teaching woke history for one thing, but they're pushing gender ideology. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm on a rescue mission to try to get as many kids out of the public school as I can.
Listen, that's pretty bold, but that's why I think you're attracting people, because you're not saying, hey, let's just be chill. Let's just, lay down. Where does this fire come from? Like how long? Like, when did this happen?
Oh, man. When my fire, you mean?
Yes.
I mean, I've been fiery since I was a kid, but I have a passion for truth. I ran for Congress in 2022 to represent Washington State's 3rd Congressional. Yeah, just last 2 years ago, I ran for Congress. Mm-hmm. We almost won. And I would have won it if Donald Trump hadn't endorsed a guy who voted for Bernie Sanders in 2016. So Donald Trump endorsed against me, even after my hour-long meeting with him. He endorsed against me, I think because he felt like he owed this guy a favor. I don't know. But even against that, we almost pulled it off. So that was an extraordinary, because I love this country. I love the country. I hate what's happening to it. I hate what's happening to our kids. And, you know, I just was in Fort Worth a couple of days ago, and I told a ginormous audience there, like, if you're not angry about what's happening to our kids, you're not paying attention. Pay attention. Wow. These are tomorrow's leaders, tomorrow's doctors, tomorrow's lawyers, tomorrow's parents. But I've been fiery like this my whole life. I'm a truth teller, and lies offend me. And when I see lies in the culture, you should have hung out with me during the Rona. Dude, what a ride. What a ride.
Well, you mentioned that. You mentioned when I was on your show, you basically started saying things that were not politically correct, and it actually just magnified your message. It galvanized your fans, and you had major support, probably major rejection too, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in the beginning. But like, my spidey senses went off way early in that thing. Mm. And my mom, who has spent her life in medicine, she has a master's degree in nursing. One of the first things she said to me was, this is never how we treat a virus. Like, the medical community knows. Everyone knows. Get this. The medical community also knows that men cannot become women. They know this stuff to be fact. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Supreme Court Justice of the United States, she knows what a woman is. She's just a coward, right? So we see a lot of this just cowardice in the public. We see cowardice in medicine right now, and big pharma for sure. And when I started looking around at what was happening to the little town that I live in, it was shocking to me. And so I just started doing these lives from my car. I'd go down I didn't even mean to attract a massive audience. I think I just was one of the first ones to say, this is garbage. Like, wake up, you guys. Take that stupid thing off your face. It does not helping you. You just look stupid. And I think they're trying to figure out how far can they push us. I still actually think that. I think that the guys who orchestrated this are just, it was like a big test balloon. Like, how, if we say jump, how high will they jump? If we say, lockdown, how many of them are willing to give up their jobs? You know, never mind that the suicide rate skyrocketed and people got injured from the from an experimental vaccine that we were literally mandated to take. I mean, it's garbage, right? Forget the Constitution, throw it away. So anyway, yeah. I started very early in the game saying, guys, look around. I think this is wrong. And I'm Heidi St. John, not going to play. And I, for some reason, you know, hundreds of thousands of people started following me. But I think a lot of people resonated with the message. Like they knew something was wrong, but they were kind of afraid to say it. It's no fun to get yelled at in a grocery store by random strangers who apparently think you're going to kill them. So we saw what the spirit of fear, you know, Carrie, you and I talked about last time you were on my show. We talked about what the spirit of fear does, right? Mm. That's why Paul said to Timothy, dude, that's not from the Lord. God didn't give you this spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Well, as the country got taken over and the church got taken over by the spirit of fear, what did we lose? We lost our power. We lost our love. We lost our soundness of mind. Mm. You can't be a slave to fear. And so I hope, you know, I hope that if they try something like this again, which wouldn't surprise me, that we will learn something and handle it differently next time.
Gee, what are your, I mean, there's a price to pay to speak the truth. And yet there's also a price to, maybe that's what we don't realize. There's a price to pay not to speak the truth. I'm guessing you looked at both prices and said, mm-hmm. this is one I'm going to pay. Mm-hmm. Speak the truth. This is one I'm not going to pay. And what are you're a grandmother yet or not?
Yes. Yes. Our fifth grand is on the way.
Wow. So you are a mother and a grandmother and you mm-hmm. are saying, look, I'm not going to hand the next generation a country, a society that I'm not mm-hmm. standing up and fighting for.
Well, if we don't fight, then we leave the battle for the next generation. If I don't fight right now, then I'm just saying to my grandbabies, you do it, you know, because I'm going to go get a job. You do it because I'm going to go on vacation. You know, I'm going to go down to L.A. tan and just waste my life. And I don't subscribe to that. I actually think, unlike Ketanji Brown Jackson, that hill to die on is truth. I think it's a hill worth dying on. I think, you know, when we determine that there's no such thing as truth, then all bets are off, right? And so we know there are certain things in this world that are objectively true, but yet modern colleges and a lot of our high schools now are telling our kids that truth is just this thing you make up in your head. And so then I have my truth and you have your truth. Well, we remember this, right? Because it was Oprah Winfrey in the early 80s, right out of the gate, because I was sitting at home munching on a bag of, you know, Doritos after school, watching Oprah Winfrey, like half the country. And she was like, I figured out my truth. And I remember just scratching my head going, wait, can you do that? Because I was told that there's just, it's either true or it isn't. Something's either true or it's not. And she was like, no, I have my truth. Well, that's a lie. I mean, it's a beautiful lie, but beautiful lies are still lies. And I think, you know, we have, I think, in this country, and this is very true for the conservative movement, I think, not really fighters. These guys are out, you know, they're going to have a job and take care of their families and do the thing. And we're losing our country and we're losing our children, largely because a generation of people just said, well, we'll give the fight to somebody else. The fight's here. And either, you know, we were born for this. So it's 2024. And it looks to me, Carrie, like you and I are of fighting age. And so this is our battle, right?
So I'm going to listen. This is intense. This is good. You mean surprised? I'm surprised we haven't gotten shut down from social media already. So I'm going to push and say to the person who's casually watching and saying, you know what, Heidi, that's your battle. You know, I'm going to do my thing. And, you know, almost like the person who says on a boat, hey, you drill a hole in the boat on your side.
Right.
This is my side. Do you think we're all connected? Do you think there is a price if we don't stand up?
Oh, absolutely. There's 100% a price. You know, my podcast is called Off the Bench. I've spent the last 9 years on the podcast trying to get people off the bench and onto the battlefield. Engage, engage, engage. And, you know, I come at my life from a position of faith, and I believe that we're here for a reason. And when, you know, and it is easier to stay home, isn't it? I mean, it would have been easier for me just to watch the country burn around me during COVID. But I don't think that's what we're called to do. I mean, I think we've gotten very lazy in the culture. We want to have our privacy. We want our peace. And you are right. There is a price to pay. And in some respects, that price is peace. But I'm not a peace at any price girl. And I don't think we should be. So, and honestly, if people don't care about anything else, I mean, the lie of climate change, we could go on and on and on, right? But if you don't care about anything else that's clearly upside down and on its head right now, you should care about kids. And I'm tired of making excuses for people who don't care about this. Like, if you don't care that your children are being told and indoctrinated by little children's books with beautiful illustrations like the book Worm Loves Worm. I met this kid's mother, and her son was in the Indianapolis Unified School District. And they read him a book when he was 5 years old called Worm Loves Worm. These two worms, they fall in love, they get married, and the birds are singing, and the owls are hooting, and the squirrels are bringing presents to the wedding. And at one point, you know, one of the worms looks at the other worm and says, well, how come you get a wedding dress and I don't get one? Well, by the end of the story, and the owl's like, hoo-hoo, that's right. Who are you, right? And so now they're confused. They don't know. So by the end of the story, these two worms get married, and one of them's wearing a top hat and a wedding dress, and the other one's wearing a tuxedo and a wedding veil. And 3 years into this, this woman's son comes home from school one day. Now, after four of his classmates have decided that they must be born in the wrong body, because after all, I like playing with Lincoln Logs, and I'm a girl, so maybe I'm a boy. It's such wickedness. It's such wickedness, and we're injuring our children. The church better be ready for triage, because that's what we're going to be doing for the next 30 years.
Wow.
And we need to care about this. And so, you know, is it going to cost you popularity? Yes. You're going to lose sponsors? Yes. I don't work with people. I don't work with cowardly sponsors. I'm not interested. So, you know, we got more to do here than make money. And the money's good. It's a tool, right? Helps us do the thing we're supposed to be doing in the first place. So I'm not an anti-capitalist, contrary, you know, on the contrary. But I'm not going to sacrifice truth to make money. And I watch people do it. You watch people do it in politics. You watch people do it in entertainment. They know what's right. Ketanji Brown Jackson knows what a woman is. She's a coward. And I think we start calling these people out for what they are.
Wow. This is intense.
You knew it was going to be intense.
No, listen.
Right out of the gate. What is a woman?
Well, listen, but there is a lot of confusion today. And, you know, I teach a content creation class. So get this, yesterday at Cedarville, because, I mean, I think that's how I can give back.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I can give back by being a professor in a school that allows us to say what we want.
So important. Yeah.
Which is rare. But what I did, Heidi, is I put five stories up. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They couldn't see what the story was. All they saw was the number. Ooh. And then I broke them into groups and I said, okay, groups of five, what number do you want? They said 4. I said, what about you? 3, 2, 1. And then I said, great. All right. Number 2, here's your story. Boom. And then I showed it to them. And the story for number 2 was, and again, people might be like, oh my gosh, what the heck? but number 2, at least the headline that made the news yesterday was Biden sues Sheetz gas station for not hiring criminals. And, you know, that was the story. And so I said, okay, you're a group now. You got to decide, is this good? I didn't tell him. I said, is this good? Is this bad? From a biblical perspective, you tell me, should we be suing companies, private companies, who don't want to hire criminals because that's whatever? I don't know. It's
for obvious reasons.
Whatever, you know? And so they then had to wrestle with this issue. But I'm thinking about that for a moment. Can you imagine, like, my son applied for a job 3 years ago and he had to answer a question that says, you know, I'll just say it, Kohl's. He was working at Kohl's. Kohl's literally said, have you committed a crime? Like, you would think that if you're a business owner and people are handling your money.
Come on.
And you decide not to hire someone because they've proven in their character that perhaps they're not faithful at handling.
Maybe not money. Trustworthy.
Yeah, but now we say, no, you can't only not do that, but now you're actually going to get penalized. Mm-hmm. So like that was just one of the five. And the other one was how a university, you know, which we probably all know about, was holding hands and preventing somebody of Jewish origin, like from entering the school.
Shame on these people. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah,
and so I just asked the class, I said, listen, how many of you scratch your head and you say, how did the Nazi extreme, where were the, and I'm German, by the way, but I said, how many of you have ever just scratched your head and said, why did the German people allow the Holocaust? Mm-hmm. And they're all several raised their hands and said, you know, that's always bugged me. I have questions. And I said, well, where do you think it started? It didn't start with like, hey, let's do concentration camps.
Nope.
But it was a spectrum of, you know, so you even talk about that today and it's kind of like, well, who are you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That goes back to the sort of dumbing down and the brainwashing that we've engaged in as a country now for literally decades. And you can go, I don't know if you heard this interview with Bill Maher a couple of days ago, but they were talking about abortion. Mm. And, you know, and actually I enjoy watching Bill Maher. I disagree with him probably 80% of the time. Mm. But when I do agree with him, I'm like, well, shoot, that was really, I mean, he's very articulate. Mm. And he said that he has respect for the pro-life movement because pro-lifers believe that that is a human being in the womb. Like from the moment of conception, you've got unique DNA that has never existed before and will never exist again. It's a human being. And if we believe it's a human being, then it has a right to life, right? This is a fundamental thing in our Constitution, right? The Declaration of Independence, we believe in the right to life. Mm. And the room got a little quiet and Bill Maher said, you know what? I believe that it's a human being too. I just don't care. I don't care that it's murder. He said there's, you know, 13 billion people in the world. We won't miss you. And I thought, okay. Well, at least he's honest. I mean, kudos to the guy. You just said the quiet part out loud. Because what he was saying, he was pushing back at the guests that he had on his show who were saying, well, the pro-lifers hate women. He goes, No, they don't. They don't hate women. They think this is murder.
Hmm.
And he said,
he was basically saying that I respect pro-lifers because they're at least being consistent.
That's right.
With their belief. He's like, I just don't believe it.
Well, he said he believes it's a human life. And then he just said, I just don't care if you kill it. I just don't care if you kill it. And I thought, okay. I mean, at least it is intellectually honest. He's saying this is a human life, but I just don't care. That's at least honest, because you can't make a biological argument that that's not a human life. You can't. There's just, and so what we've done is we've all these red herrings and we follow all these rabbit trails, you know, and so the intellectual dishonesty that comes from the pro-choice lobby is astonishing to me. And at least Bill Maher, who's rabidly pro-choice, would say, yes, that's a human being. I agree. I just don't care.
So what about the person who's watching this? Who just says, you know what? That's not my thing. Like, I don't want to be like Heidi because Heidi's known for these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you say to that? Who's, you know, is that, I don't know what, I'm sure you come across people that like they don't want to lead with that, these issues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's different, right? We all have different personalities, different temperaments. There were the German people had different personalities and different temperaments too. And we decide what battles are, what do we engage in? To me, the right to life and the protection of innocent human life should be at the front of everyone's conversation. We should be talking about it all the time. I think we should be, you know, I have a very strong, I'm a mother, right? I have seven kids. I have a very strong protective gene in me. And I just wonder if we don't speak up on behalf of these little ones, who's going to do it? They're literally defenseless. And I get it. People say to me, well, I don't care about that. Okay. Well, that's your right. I'm going to get to the end of my life one day. And I don't want to look back and go, man, I'm so glad I watched, you know, 17 million hours on Netflix. I'm so glad that I did that. You know, I want my life to mean something. I want to have made a difference. I want my kids to go, my mom did everything she could to make life better for our kids. And I think that drives me, you know? And so to me, and this is why, as much as I disagreed with Bill Maher, I respect him. At least tell the truth, right? So he actually believes in objective truth. And I may disagree with you, but tell the truth, and then we can have an intellectually honest conversation. And you can say why you disagree with me, and I can make my point. But when you start from a position that is both intellectually dishonest and biological mumble jumble garbage, this is why I keep bringing up Ketanji Brown Jackson. This woman is a Supreme Court justice, and she won't engage in an argument from a position of truth. That should bother the American people. Bother us.
So she's basically saying she can't define the difference.
Yeah, because she said she's not a biologist. She's not a biologist. Well, ask me if it's raining right now. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, right? I mean, I can look outside and I can tell you what my eyes see.
Interesting.
But I'm not a meteorologist, so therefore I'm not qualified to tell you. She knows exactly what she's doing. And that's what I believe. And this is to say, I do think that there's young people now on our college campuses and coming out of our high schools that are genuinely confused, right? Because they've been confused. They've been made to believe that sex and gender are two different things, which they're not. Gender, by the way, just a made-up word from the left, right? You're born with a biological reality. And through the indoctrination and the leftists, you know, we have tens upon thousands of activists in our schools that are disguised as teachers now. They're not going there to make sure our kids get a great education or are equipped to handle the problems that are going to come at them or can put the United States in a better position because, hey, we've got the top scientists in the world. No, we're dumbing down our children with pseudoscience and confusing them to the point of suicide, many of these young people. And then they're coming out into the adult world. And I mean, all you got to do is get on the libs of TikTok, right, to sort of see where this is landing us. And it goes back to, and this is why I said at the beginning, truth is a hill worth dying on. It is worth dying on. If we don't believe that there is such a thing as male and female, everything else is up for grabs. I mean, is there the occasional genetic anomaly? Is intersex a thing? Absolutely. But the vast majority, I mean, that is a literal anomaly that happens in the DNA. It is a genetic defect. Most of us are born male or female. Most of us are not born intersex, right? But what we've done is we've changed the conversation now to say, well, most of us are like that. And it just simply isn't true. And I actually am encouraged. I think you and I talked about this last time. The rising generation, what Jefferson, you know, Thomas Jefferson would call today's rising generation, I think they smell a rat. You know, they're watching what's going on around them, and they're asking at least intellectually honest questions. It's one of the reasons I love Cedarville so much, right? You engage in the we don't run from the conversation, but we come at it from a position of truth. And if we're going to have conversations, I don't care what it is. You could talk about the southern border. You could talk about taxes. I think a lot of people in the United States feel like they're being taxed without representation. We just gave billions and billions of dollars, now another $17 billion to countries that are not our own while our people are here homeless and starving in many places in the country. We need to have honest conversations about this stuff. And if we can't start from a position of truth, we got no place to go.
I got to show your websites here because we're almost out of time and I want to make sure we get to.
We didn't miss anything, man. You hit all the hot button topics.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to be thinking about this for a long time. So Becoming Mom Strong. How cool is that? Bible Promises for Moms. You got a whole series here. And then you have these other books, Prayers for the Battlefield, Daylight Romance, great covers, by the way, Becoming Momstrong Journal. Those are just the books, folks, on Amazon. But then we also want to go to a couple quick websites here. If Heidi is resonating with you, you got to leave Equipped, folks. So Faith That Speaks, and Faith That Speaks is formerly Momstrong International. How many young ladies or older ladies are listening to the scripture for this? How many are we talking?
Gosh. I mean, probably close to 2,000 women that study with me. So I write a new study there every month. Right now we're going through a study on prayer. You know, I think we forget we have access to God through prayer. It's amazing. Next month, we're going to be studying truth. And that study is called Veritas, In Defense of Truth. And so we'll be studying truth from a biblical perspective and also from an intellectual perspective. I want to teach women how to defend the truth. It's really important. So they're about 100-page studies. So they're meaty, but they don't take you, you know, half an hour every day. You could probably do it in 15 minutes a day. But yeah, every single month we put out a brand new study there. It's awesome.
I love that. I'm popping in your Amazon author account. And then lastly, let's go to this other Firmly Planted Family. What's going on here?
So my husband and I launched a nonprofit organization, Firmly Planted Family, a little over 20 years ago. The largest thing we do, you can see we have Firmly Planted Action. That's the 501c4 where we're helping Christians engage in voting, for goodness sake. And then one of the biggest things we do, that's a picture of it right there, is the Homeschool Resource Center. We currently have about 1,200 students there. And that's where our primary mission of the nonprofit to rescue kids out of the public schools is happening. And so that is open, I want to say the resource center is open 5 days a week. And next year we expect to almost double here. So I'm trying to remove every obstacle. Oh, that's my main squeeze. I'm trying to remove every obstacle. And that's my kids, for goodness sake. Yeah, that's my family.
It's so good.
So if somebody said, I want to homeschool my kids, but I just don't want to teach biology. Great. I have a biology tutor for you. If you said, I want to homeschool my kids, but I really wanted them to be involved in dance. It's a huge deal to my daughter. We have about, I think, 7 or 8 different dance classes here that we offer. We have over 200 classes. So and they're very inexpensive because they're done tutorial style. A lot of them a Socratic method of education, which, as you know, I'm a super fan of. And so, yeah, we got about 1,200 kids here right now. And expect to see it continue to grow. So it's exciting.
Folks, Heidi St. John, she spoke truth today. It's going to stick with us. You know, you're going to leave me thinking about a lot. So I really appreciate this. And thanks for being here today.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me, Carrie. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.